Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This is another chapter of Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, and we're at the end. Today we're going to be talking about wilderness mentality number 8, and then we have 2 more, and then that's it. Y'all, we started reading this book in January. This book is definitely long because we have been pretty much going through this book this whole entire year. I hope you guys appreciated last week's episode and me really talking about my disagreements with some of her points and the ways in which I thought that she was reaching a bit, because I think that it's important for us to always make sure that we're mindful of what we're consuming and remember we had that episode about qualifying your wise counsel. I feel like that applies even with the stuff that we consume, whether it's videos, books, teachings, etc. We should always be making sure that what the person is saying is lining up with the text in context. And just because they said something good before doesn't mean that they're still saying something good now. We should always be vigilant and sober, like the Bible tells us to. And I believe that sometimes our own connection or like for an individual can impede on our ability to be sober if we're not intentional about it. But needless to say, I hope that you guys have enjoyed these reviews, whether you have read the book in real time or not. I pray that they've blessed you. I'm excited about the next book. I'm ready to land this plane. I said it when we started this third part about wilderness mentalities. I said that I didn't think it was fully necessary, and I still stand by that. I'm honestly tired of reading about some of these wilderness mentalities, but we're going to land this plane and we're going to see it through. Before we start, I have some exciting news for those of you who are in the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia area, or traveling to this area sometime before the year is over. My studio, Anchored Media Studios, located in Laurel, Maryland, we are a hybrid between a co-working space and a content studio. Ever since we've opened a little over a year ago, we've been operating primarily for events, photo shoots, video shoots, meetings, things of that nature. And we've done co-working days here and there. But now I'm really excited that for the fourth quarter, we're going to be opening our doors Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for people to come in and work and plan. We have private offices. We have a podcast studio. We have a meeting room, a phone booth for privacy if you need to take a call. We have a conference room, everything that you need in a workspace, high speed Wi-Fi, printing, free parking, coffee, tea, snacks, anything that you can think of. If you're there and you need even some tech items, we have chargers and ports and microphones and all the things to just make life convenient for those who are coming to have a productive work day. And best of all, it's a Holy Spirit led environment. Everybody who comes into that building always talks about how peaceful it is, but that is simply the presence of God. So I want to invite you to experience that for yourself. If you want to get out the house, whether you're teleworking, whether you're working on your business, whether you're meeting with a group, if you want to get out of your normal environment, if you're looking for a peaceful place to get work done, to have your business meetings with God, to plan for 2025, I invite you to Anchored Media Studios. Again, we're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have very affordable day passes. For one day, it's $25. Only for the whole entire day. And we also have packages to where if you buy passes for multiple days, you save even more money. The passes and the days can be used at your discretion, but I want to invite you to come work from out the space. I would love to meet you in person on the days that I'm there. Click the link in the show notes to learn more, see where we're located, and to secure your pass. All right, let's go into wilderness mentality number 8. So this one says, I don't deserve God's blessings because I am not worthy. She opens it up with Joshua 5:9. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. Other translation says, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. She says, after Joshua had led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, there was something God needed to do before they would really be ready to conquer and occupy their first town, which was to be Jericho. The Lord ordered that all the Israelite males be circumcised, since this had not been done during the entire 40 years they had wandered in the wilderness. This requires obedience and was to be a sign of their willingness to turn away from fleshly, worldly ways and embark upon a new life of living for God. After this was done, the Lord told Joshua that he had rolled away the reproach of Egypt from his people. A few verses later in chapter 6, the account begins of how God led the children of Israel to overcome and capture Jericho. Why did the reproach have to be lifted off of them first? What is a reproach? And then she goes on to define it. The word reproach means blame, disgrace, shame. When God said that he would roll away the reproach of Egypt from the Israelites, he was making a point. Egypt represents the world. After a few years of being in the world and becoming worldly, we all need the reproach of it rolled away. Because reproach isn't necessarily a word that we use in everyday language, I want to use the word shame. And I want to park here for a second because I want us to understand the magnitude of shame so that we can properly internalize the magnitude of how great God is in a way in which he wants to remove shame from us. So I did a quick little search on ChatGPT and I told him to define shame and how it influences one behavior. And so this was interesting. It says, shame is a powerful emotional response that arises when a person feels they have fallen short of certain standards, values, or expectations, whether these are internal or external. It often involves a deep sense of inadequacy, dishonor, or failure, leading to a perception that there is something fundamentally wrong with oneself. Unlike guilt, which focuses on action, so like I did something wrong, shame is more so about self, I am wrong or flawed. Shame can significantly influence one's behavior in both direct and indirect ways. Now, listen to these ways that it influences behavior, because I want you to listen to see if any of these you identify with, because you may not automatically say like, oh, I deal with shame, which is why I wanted to park here and get some specific examples so that if any of you are dealing with shame unknowingly, you can address it and get set free. So here are the ways in which shame can influence our behavior. One, avoidance and withdrawal. When people feel shame, they often avoid situations where they think they might be judged or reminded of their perceived flaws. This can lead to social withdrawal, isolation, or reluctance to try new things for fear of failure or embarrassment. I believe this applies to driving a wedge between us and God as well. And this is why the enemy uses shame as such an effective tactic to sever our relationship with the Lord. A lot of us will withdraw and avoid God when we've fallen short, when we've sinned. We will stop going to church. We will stop talking to our accountability partners. We'll go MIA because we feel ashamed of whatever our actions are. And God wants us to do the opposite. When we fall short, when we sin, he wants us to repent, which means turn away and come back to him, and he will forgive us and he will restore us. The second way shame influences behavior is people pleasing or overachieving. Some individuals may respond to shame by striving excessively for perfection or seeking approval from others to compensate for feelings of inadequacy. They may overachieve or overcommit to please others, trying to prove their worth or hide their perceived flaws. Does this sound familiar for anybody? The third way, defensiveness or aggression. Shame can also lead to defensive or aggressive behavior as a means of protecting oneself from further emotional hurt. People may react harshly to criticism, deflect blame, or attack others to cover their own sense of vulnerability. Number four, negative self-talk and self-sabotage. Shame often manifests as persistent negative self-talk, where individuals reinforce their own sense of unworthiness. This can contribute to low self-esteem, anxiety, or depression. It may also lead to self-sabotaging behaviors, where a person deliberately undermines their own success due to a belief that they do not deserve happiness or positive outcomes. Number five, fear of intimacy. Shame can make people afraid to be vulnerable with others and the Lord because they fear that their flaws will be exposed. This fear can create barriers in relationships, preventing emotional closeness and hindering trust. And this is another reason why this is so effective in keeping us from being close to the Lord and why the enemy uses shame so much. Number six, addictive behaviors. In some cases, people may turn to addictive substances or behaviors, for example, alcohol, drugs, overeating, as a coping mechanism to numb the pain of shame or temporarily escape feelings of inadequacies. Overall, shame is a debilitating emotion that can significantly hinder personal growth and well-being if left unchecked. Addressing shame often involves acknowledging and challenging negative beliefs about oneself, seeking support from others, and practicing self-compassion. And as believers, we have to make sure that we're recognizing when shame is influencing our behaviors so that we can take that to the Lord. This is why I wanted to really break this down and show these different instances, because again, I don't want us to have any shame that is unsubmitted. And I took things a step further, and I wish this is what part of my beef is sometimes when it comes to these faith-based books. And while I historically have loved Battlefield of the Mind, as I have gotten more spiritually mature, and I have worked in ministry and more so of a business capacity for a long time, I just feel like it is so important for us to be thorough at all times and for us to send people back to the word more than just bringing in a text or a line of scripture, but sending people back to the detailed aspects of the word. I feel like this chapter discussing shame was an excellent opportunity for Joyce then to take us back into the text of other people who've experienced shame. Like she gives her own testimony and how she dealt with shame because of things that she experienced growing up in her childhood and all of that. But there are so many instances in the Bible where people experience shame, how they had an encounter with Jesus and what the outcome of that was. So I'm a detour from the book a bit so that we can fill in this gap, because again, my ultimate goal with this episode isn't just to talk about Joyce Meyer's words, but to help anybody who may feel like they're dealing with shame, because I believe the Lord just really wants to set you free. I'm going to go to five places in scripture. And if any of the implications or the influences of shame that we just discussed resonate with you, I want you to write these down so that you can also go back and revisit in your quiet time. So the first place I want to go is John 4, 4 through 42. So this is the conversation with Jesus and a woman at the well. This one is pretty long, so I'm not going to read the whole text. But to summarize the shame part, the Samaritan woman here was shamed because of her multiple marriages and the fact that she was living with a man who was not her husband. Because we know, if you're familiar with this text, that Jesus called her out on that in their dialogue. So again, she was dealing with shame. I'm sure a lot of judgment. It said that she went down to draw water by herself in the middle of the day, which we could assume that probably she did that at that time so that she could be by herself and not have to bump into any other women. But she had an encounter with Jesus. And so when she met Jesus at the well, he did acknowledge her past. He was very clear that he knew the totality of who she was and what she had going on, but he did so without condemnation. And he offered her living water, which symbolizes eternal life and the acceptance that comes from God. And so the outcome of this was that she was transformed by the encounter, leaving her water jar and running to tell others about Jesus, leading many people in her town to believe in him. So the shame that she went to the well with was replaced by joy and purpose. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. The second place I want you to go is John 8, 1 through 11. And this is the woman caught in adultery. And I actually read this one because it's a bit shorter. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she says. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So this woman was publicly humiliated and shamed after being caught in adultery. And they dragged her to Jesus so that he could judge her. But instead, Jesus addressed her accusers by challenging them, because he said, let them who was without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And so one by one, they left. And Jesus, without condemnation again, said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. So his words to her, they provided freedom and liberation from both the condemnation of other people and her own shame. And so that compassion that he offered her at that time allowed her to walk away in forgiveness and freedom and encouraged to live a transformed life. Number three, Peter. Let's go to Luke 22 and I'm going to read 54 through 62. And this is where Peter denies Jesus. So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance and they led him, as in Jesus. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she says, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. This is the NLT version, by the way. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. The guards in charge of Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and said, prophesy to us, who hit you that time? And they hurled all sorts of terrible insults at him. So Peter had deep shame in this moment because he denied Jesus three times on the night of his arrest. And this betrayal, it caused him to weep bitterly, as we just read. And he was burdened because he's essentially a coward. And he failed Jesus by denying him. Now, let's go over to John 21 verses. I'm going to read verses 15 through 19. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands to others, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. So after Jesus' resurrection, he met with Peter. And he lovingly restored him by asking him three times. We just read it. Do you love me? And this is, of course, reflecting on his three denials. Jesus then told him, go feed my sheep, which is then reinstating Peter's role as a leader. So Peter's relationship with Jesus transformed his shame into boldness and faith. And he became one of the most prominent leaders of the early church, proclaiming the gospel fearlessly. Number four, this is about Mary Magdalene. Let's go to Luke 8 and 2 first. And just so I'm not coming in the middle of a sentence, I'm going to start at verse 1. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. So we can say that Mary Magdalene had some shame. She was possessed by 7 demons. And so I'm sure that came with a lot of suffering, a lot of isolation, a stigma that impacted her socially. Jesus healed her by casting out the demons and restored her dignity and gave her a new identity. Mary then became a devoted follower of Christ and even standing by the cross during his crucifixion. Mary was the first person to see Jesus after his resurrection and was given the honor of announcing his resurrection to the disciples. Jesus transformed her shame. This woman who was possessed by 7 demons, he transformed that shame into a significant role in his ministry. I mean, are y'all encouraged yet? I know I am. Last one, number 5, Zacchaeus. This one can be found in Luke 19, 1 through 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zac. We'll call him Zac. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zac and called him by his name. Zac, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zac quickly climbed down and then took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zac stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So Zac was a tax collector, and at that time, this profession was associated with a lot of corrupt and betrayal of their own people. He was very much so despised by others, and I'm sure he felt a lot of deep shame because of his dishonest actions. You see, he started copping a plea real quick when Jesus came to his house. But Jesus, he had this encounter with Jesus because Jesus called him down from that tree and chose to stay at his house. And so this gesture that Jesus extended of acceptance, it led him to repent, as we just read, and make restitution for his wrongs by promising to give half his wealth to the poor and repay fourfold those that he had cheated. So the outcome of this was Jesus declared, today salvation has come to this house. Zac's encounter with Jesus turned his shame into joy and brought about repentance and transformation. So as you can see, all of these 5 instances that we have discussed, these individuals, they experience shame due to either their actions or their circumstances, but their encounters with Jesus, they brought about healing, forgiveness, and restoration. Jesus offered them unconditional love and acceptance, allowing them to overcome their shame and step into new lives that's filled with purpose and freedom. And y'all that are listening to me, I promise you, he wants to do the exact same for us. If you are somebody who is dealing with avoidance because of your shame, if you are somebody who has given into maybe addictive behaviors, if you're people pleasing or overachieving, if you're defensive or aggressive, if you're dealing with negative self-talk and self-sabotage, if you have the fear of intimacy, all of these things that we listed out early, I want you to understand that Jesus wants to remove the reproach. He wants to remove the shame from you. And then invite you into a new life of wholeness, of intimacy with him, of freedom. Shame robs us from the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we don't need to be adopting this wilderness mentality because we have agreed with the lie of the enemy that we are unworthy of the love and the forgiveness and the restorative nature of the Lord. So again, for those of you who identify with shame, who may be carrying some shame right now, I pray that freedom has entered into your heart as you listen to this episode. I pray that this episode was the encounter that you needed, that this episode brought clarity and peace that you needed. Like I could even see some of you listening and tears are welling up as I went through the different instances in the text where people dealt with shame, because the enemy and a lot of times the church and church folk have used shame to keep us bound. But the Lord wants us to be free. He wants you to be free. And I pray that if this episode identified with you in any type of way, that you take that to the Lord and you say, God, renew my mind, just as you did the people of Israel. God, I ask that you roll away the shame from me, that you roll away the shame of my Egypt, whatever that may be. So that's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I think this is a great way to end. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.